Osho. Zen, the quantum leap from mind to no mind. Talks given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 11.
Beloved Bhagwan, Suigan, thinking he had attained something of Zen, left Chinyo's monastery when he was still a young monk to travel all over China. Years later, when Suigan returned to visit the monastery, his old teacher asked, "Tell me the summary of Buddhism." Suigan answered, "If a cloud does not hang over the mountain, the moonlight will penetrate the waves of the lake." Chinyo looked at his former pupil in anger. He said, "You are getting old. Your hair has turned white and your teeth are sparse. Yet you still have such an idea of Zen. How can you escape birth and death?" Tears washed Suigan's face as he bent his head. After a few minutes he asked, "Please tell me the summary of Buddhism." "If a cloud does not hang over the mountain," the teacher replied, "the moonlight will penetrate the waves of the lake." Before the teacher had finished speaking, Suigan was enlightened.
Enlightenment is an instantaneous awareness, understanding. It has nothing to do with rational philosophical or theological mind. It is just a gesture, not a word. It is here, this very moment, the very essence of Zen. This is a beautiful anecdote, particularly for this evening, when there is so much silence and the birds are singing and the bamboos are listening silently. Such moments cannot be reduced to language, and the moment you reduce them, you destroy them. They are always virgin. That is their very essence. three guns, thinking he had attained something of this. Remember, it is very easy to think that you have attained something of this. But thinking has nothing to do with this. It is the barrier. If you think you have attained something of Zen, you have missed. Zen is a non-thinking, silent rejoicing within yourself. A dance of consciousness without any boundaries of words, thoughts. Sri Gan was wrong from the very beginning when he thought that he had attained something of joy. Secondly, Zen is not possible to be attained in installments. It is absolutely un-American. Either you have it in its wholeness or you don't have it. But in part, it is not available. Nothing can be done about it. This is the very nature of things. So on both the counts he was wrong. First he thought, and Zen is beyond thinking. Second, he thought that he has got something of Zen. You cannot get something of Zen. It never comes in parts and pieces. It is not a retail shop. It is wholesale. When it comes, it comes so totally that it leaves no space for any thought. But Sugan, thinking he had attained something of Zen, left Jimyo monastery, his master. These anecdotes are being lived here again. We are not reading them, we are living them. There is no other way to understand them. There are many sannyasins who have left thinking they have attained something. Sugan is only symbolic. Sumindra thinks he has attained something. Rajen thinks he has attained something. And there are many Sumindras and many Rajas. Don't belong to that category, any of you, because it is very easy for the mind to persuade you that you have attained it. Now what are you doing here? Remember, when your mind says, "My God, in what unknown space I have entered." And I cannot figure it out what it is. A taste, a sweetness, a fragrance, a joy, a song without words, a music without any instrument. The old Chinese proverb is, when the musician becomes perfect, he throws away his instrument. When the archer becomes perfect, he forgets about his bow and his arrows. When a meditator comes to his very center, there is certainly a dance, an immense blissfulness over flooding you, but there is no thought. Beware of thinking that is your enemy number one. Sugam, thinking he had attained something of Jain, left Jimyo's monastery when he was still a young monk to travel all over China. Years later, when Sugam returned to visit the monastery, his old master asked, "Tell me the summary of Buddhism." These kinds of questions are very special to Zen. They don't say what you hear. They don't mean what you understand. They are only indications. Asking, "Tell me the summary of Buddhism," he is not asking like a professor. Anybody can summarize. Any scholar can do it. The master is not asking for the summary of Buddhism. He is asking to sow your understanding Have you arrived home? Have you got it? Srigan answers, and he missed again. Because this was the time, if he had remained silent, just open and available to the Master, he would have instantaneously become the very summary of Buddhism, the very summary of existence. But he answers, Zen is not a question-answer thing. You cannot answer in words. Only silence can give the proof that you have understood. But he could not remain silent. He answered, if a cloud does not hang over the mountain, the moonlight will penetrate the waves of the lake. Jimmyo looked at his former pupil in anger. He said, you are getting old. Your hair has turned white and your teeth are sparse. Yet you still have such an idea of this. How can you escape birth and death? Escaping from birth and death is a way of saying for the entrance into the transcendental, which never is born and never dies. Tears washed Subhan's face as he bent his head. After a few minutes he asked, please, tell me the summary of Buddhism. The Master said, if a cloud does not hang over the mountain, the moonlight will penetrate the waves of the lake. The beauty is that the same answer was given by Subhan, but it was not right, and now it is right. It does not matter what is said, but from what source, from what understanding, from what silence. Subhan was simply repeating like a puppet. That answer is written in so many sutras. It was not his own. That's why the master was angry. Angry out of compassion. Angry because you are getting old. How you are going to manage not to be born again? Time is so short and you are still a parrot. All pundits, all roshis, all professors, all rabbis, all popes are just parrots. And they do such immense harm to humanity that it is incalculable. Just few days before, Shankaracharya of Puri intimate enemy of him. He asked the Indian government that the ancient sati pratha should be legalized for centuries. Hinduism has been forcing women, if their husbands die, they have to jump into their funeral pyre, alive, to be burned and to die. This is called sati. The word sati comes from sat, the truth. Calling a woman sati because he has jumped into the funeral fire of her husband is saying, in other words, that she has attained the truth. If this is true, then why not a single man in the whole history has jumped in the funeral pyre of his wife? Such an easy way to become one with truth. At least Shankaracharya of Puri should commit sati. That will make a history of his name. Single man in the whole history. And he is such an idiot, he can do it. But it is good that he should do. Otherwise, he has no right to ask the government Hindus have been torturing women for centuries. If somebody out of love jumps into the funeral fire, whether it is man or woman, it does not matter. It has to come out of love. then I have tremendous respect for it. But it was not coming out of love. It was being forced. If a woman was not going to commit suicide, she has to live her whole life without getting married again. The rule does not apply to men. Once their wife dies, immediately they start thinking and looking around. Whom to get hold possession? The women who had jumped were forced to jump. And the way it used to happen, the woman was dragged. Great drums were beaten so nobody can hear her crying. Great ghee, purified butter was poured on the funeral fire, creating so much smoke, nobody could see what was happening to the poor woman. And if any woman resisted and was powerful enough or rich enough, and the Hindu priesthood could not manage to force her to commit suicide, she was condemned for her whole life like a servant. She has to save her hair. She could not wear any ornament. She could only use white clothes without any color. She cannot participate in any religious festivals. She cannot even participate in somebody's marriage. She could not be present at somebody's birth. She was simply thrown out of all ceremonial. She has to live like a shadow at the servant quarters behind the house. This was much more painful than just to take a jump in the funeral pyre, because it will finish within minutes. So every intelligent woman rather living for 70 years or 60 years in utter slavery and condemnation chose to commit suicide. It is not sati. And this fellow, Shankaracharya of Puri, was speaking on the occasion where a 6-year-old girl In fact, it is illegal even for her to be married. And she was burnt herself on the funeral fire of her husband. Both were not up to the age where they should get married. Their marriage was invalid, illegal, unconstitutional, and this murder is supported by Shankaracharya Puri. On this occasion he was asking the government to make sati pratha legal. I am asking the Indian government that make it legal that every Shankaracharya should commit sati first. There are 8 Shankaracharyas in India. Only then any woman can be forced to commit suicide. And it should be out of love, not out of ritual. Sugan was repeating a ritualistic answer, just as Shankaracharya Puri is doing, without even understanding the meaning. The master was angry because it is time that Sugan should understand the essential, existential experience that makes a man a Buddha. To be a parent makes him angry, and he asks, how can you escape birth and death? A very essential point to be remembered. What words could not do, tears did. Tears was Sugan's face. He could see the compassion of the master even in his anger. And he could see that he is simply repeating the sutra. It is not his own understanding. Tears was Sugan's face as he bent his head. After a few minutes he asked, please tell me the summary of Buddhism. He is now accepting that I don't know. Please, you tell me. And the master says the same thing, but something has change in Sugan, that you have to understand. Tears have washed not only his face, but also his mind. And bending his head is a gesture that I was pretending to be a knower, I'm utterly ignorant. I'm not even worthy of touching your feet. This acceptance of innocence and these tears create a totally new situation in which the same sentence, if a cloud does not hang over the mountain, the moonlight will penetrate the waves of the lake. Before the master had finished speaking, Sugan was enlightened. Enlightenment is pure silence. The silence of no mind. Your mind is continuously going on and on. Yakati ya, yakati ya. Do you see in the meditation? Do you think it is coming from nowhere? It is within you, you are hiding. And my effort is, don't hide it, don't suppress it, throw it out. Perhaps tears may come to your eyes, or laughter, and a deep understanding may arise. If Sugan can become enlightened, why you cannot? It is everybody's birthright. Before we try going into ourselves, into enlightenment, Manisha has asked one question. Beloved Bhagwan, I have heard some sannyasins say about fellow sannyasins who decide to do something else other than be here, well, perhaps they need to do what they are doing. Is that true? It is, Manisha, up to everybody. This place is not a prison. You are here out of your own understanding. If you feel you need to be somewhere else, don't wait a single moment. Be there where you feel to be. I am all for freedom. Freedom is my religion. Manisha is asking, on one hand I see that if we use everything we decide to, intelligently, of course, we will learn from it, so it can't be said we have missed or that we did not need to do it. At least as far as I am concerned, everyone has to decide for himself. I cannot force enlightenment on you. She is asking, on the other hand, if we are going to decide what we do, need to do, what is the point of being with a master? There is no point. The point is to be with you. The master is non-essential. If you feel that to be with the master, something is growing in you, it is your decision. Otherwise, be anywhere you want. But remember, you will not find another place on the earth at this moment. To be enlightened. But enlightenment is not a necessity to everyone. Very few people can afford it. Because it is moving on a razor edge. Certainly you cannot become enlightened intelligently. You can become enlightened only if your so-called intelligence is no more interfering into your being. What is your intelligence? Even the most intelligent people like Albert Einstein died without enlightenment. He has left his brain to be examined because he himself was wondering, is there something special in his brain that makes him so much intelligent? Perhaps if it is known, it can be injected into everybody else. Maybe some protein, maybe some vitamin, maybe some other chemical. After his death, his brain has been examined thoroughly. For the first time, anybody's brain has been examined so thoroughly. Certainly, he has two things more than ordinary people. Some chemicals 26% more. But he was the intelligent, most human being, yet unenlightened. Intelligence has nothing to do with enlightenment. Intelligence is part of your brain, your chemistry. And consciousness is not part of your chemistry. Consciousness is your being. Nobody can inject it. Enlightenment is simply becoming aware of your transcendence to chemistry and physics and biology and physiology. Knowing yourself the eternal non-physical energy. It is pure light. But nobody can enforce it. It is absolutely in your hands to remain ignorant or to become enlightened. Before we try, few laughs will be good to clean off the seriousness that has settled upon you. Young pagan Finkelstein the advocate is drafted to fight in Ronald Reagan's latest war with Iran. However, he manages to convince the draft board officer that he is half blind and is sent home. That evening, Fagin goes to the movie, and at the end, when the lights come up, he notices that a member of the draft board is sitting next to him. Without a moment's hesitation, Fagin taps him on the arm and asks, "Excuse me, madam, but I wonder if you can help me. Is this the train for New Jersey?" Sardar Gurdayal Singh is driving down MG Road one day in a brand new Maruti car, his friend Sarjano stopped him and said, "Hey, Sardarji, where did you get that brand new car?" Well, replied Sardar Gurdyal Singh, "I was going for a spin to Mulchi Lake on my old HD motorbike when I saw this sexy American girl, Ma Papaya Pineapple." Stranded by the side of the road in this car, so I stopped and picked the car for her. Far out, says Sarjana. "Then what happened?" Well, continues Sardar Gurdyal Singh, "Ma Papaya Pineapple looks at me in a very sexy way, nudges me in the belly and says, 'Thanks, man. I am really grateful. I will give you anything you want.'" So naturally, as Sardarji, I took the Maruti. Three college boys go into their favorite coffee bar, only to find that their usual table is being occupied by an old woman, after debating what to do about the situation. They finally decide to embarrass the woman into leaving. Sitting down next to the old lady, the first one says, "Hey guy, did you know that I was born 3 months before my parents were married?" "That's nothing," says the next one. "I was born 6 months before my parents were married." "Guy," says the third, "my parents have never been married." The little old lady finally looks up from the table and says pleasantly, "Will one of you bastards pass the salt?" Pope the Polar and Edwin Mead are arguing over what is considered man's greatest invention. Pope the Polar insists it is the wheel, because that has made man mobile and made it easier for me to spread the word of God. But Mead claims it is the lever, because that was the start of machinery, and machines have made us what we are today. They argue at length but are unable to reach an agreement. Finally, Mead says, "Let us ask Ronald. He is the president. He knows everything." President Reagan tells them that they are both wrong. "Man's greatest invention is my thermos bottle," he declares. "Your thermos bottle? You have got to be kidding," says the puller. Reason shakes his head and says, it keeps my kasi warm in the winter and my juice cold in the summer. So, churis me. Well, replies president, how does the thermos know? And everybody goes crazy. Do the best. Everybody becomes absolutely silent. Close your eyes. Go to no movement. Deeper and deeper. Beyond the mind. This is the message of all the Buddhas. Just be. The drum and everybody falls dead. Let the body breathe. That is not your life. Go deeper. Find out the life which needs no breathing. just the pure silence and joy. It dawns unto itself, drown into the dawn. This is the quantum leap from mind to no mind. So blissful is this evening. So blessed are these moments. The drum to bring everybody back to life. But come fresh, young, silent, but immensely alive. Forget for a single moment this peace. If it becomes your very life, it is enlightenment.
Yes, of course.
Are we allowed to celebrate?
Yeah.